It's Morning Edition on WNIJ. I'm Dan Klefstad with part two of our summer book series. Each Friday this month, we'll talk with a Northern Illinois author about his or her work. To hear part one in this series, visit WNIJ.org. But do it later, because right now I'd like you to meet Dan Libman, a Pushcart Prize-winning author from the Rockford area. Libman's newest work is a collection of short stories called Married But Looking. Each story features a character who is married but exploring the idea of another partner.
It's more than just looking, too, because it's fantasy. And in some cases, in some of these stories, there are slight transgressions. And in some cases, there's more than just slight transgressions. And it has to do with how those transgressions affect the partner. And then you and your partner have to sort of figure out, what are we going to do at this point? Or is this going to be part of the relationship? In one of the stories, one of the characters is writing on Facebook and says, I think that may be what the marriage is sort of trying to figure out what the marriage is. And once you have that figured out, you shift the goal lines a little bit and see what comes of it.
Well, you brought up the final story in the collection, Married But Looking, the title story. Here, a middle-aged couple travels to Paris, and the wife continues to send Facebook messages to an old flame back in the States. The husband knows about this affair, in quotes. Talk a little bit more about Married But Looking.
And he feels betrayed by this transgression that he knows is going on, this sort of online relationship, and partially because he knows that it's a mental thing, and even though it is not consummated, it's taking place in her mind, and he can't get in there, and he can't control that.
At the end of the book, the woman reaches into her purse and takes out a little object that becomes symbolic, I guess, of their efforts to get beyond this transgression and heal their relationship.
I ended up with them on the airplane, and she's got this mustard jar that she was going to give to her Facebook boyfriend, and I think they end up eating all the mustard, so it's gone. The gift is gone, and that's kind of like her gift to him. And he says he's going to learn French next time they come to Paris, and that's his gift to her.
I'd like you to read that part.
Okay. They're on the airplane going home, and it began with them on the airplane going to Paris, and they're playing paper, rock, scissors, and she tells him what she's going to throw, and he doesn't believe her, and because of that, he loses the paper, rock, scissors. Of course, his name is Silvers. He's not, he never wins. He's always in second place. When the flight attendant announced the meal, he lowered both their trays. Valerie had her face pressed up against the window for a time and only turned when the sandwich, tightly wrapped in cellophane, was placed in front of her. "Wow," Silver said, looking at her eyes, which were red and puffy. "Bad air on the plane drying you out?" "No, I was crying." She took a bite of her sandwich. After chewing for a time, she said, "We can make this better." From her carry-on, she pulled out a small box wrapped in her laundry, clawed some gift wrapping, and pulled out a mild mustard pot. He watched her struggle to pull the cork out, not saying anything, not quite sure what was happening. With the plastic knife, she glopped enormous quantities of mustard on her sandwich, and the same amount on his, scraping the sides and bottom of the pot finally so that there was none left. But she squished the tops of their sandwiches and jammed the first bite into her mouth and spoke to him between chews. "Eat your sandwich," she told him. All he could taste was the coarse mustard, acidic, tangy, more mustard than he normally ate in a month, but he understood that it was important to choke down every bite. And even after signaling for a second bottle of water, he couldn't get the taste from his tongue. And after they finished and wiped up the drippings, Valerie dumped their trays into the plastic bags offered by the attendant, and Silvers didn't say anything when the ceramic mustard pot went with it, gone with the rest of the garbage. Later on, when they played paper, rock, scissors, and she told him exactly what she was going to do before she did it. "I'm going to throw paper now. I'm going to throw rock." He believed every word she said, meeting her scissors with rock and her paper with scissors. And in this way, Silvers found it possible, at least for a little while, to feel like a winner.
You know, what's funny about this story, in which there is a minor transgression, and some of the other stories where there are more serious transgressions, is that nobody's going out and having a really good time, a really successful affair. Why did you decide to do that with this book?
You know, I'm not really sure. I guess that, I teach fiction at Northern, and one of the things that we talk about early on is that when a character tells the reader, here's what my plan is, and then just kind of executes the plan and nothing goes wrong, it's not a very good story, certainly not compelling. So, it sort of moves the story along that things go awry and that, that there's confusion and then you have to change your plans. And then, so it's sort of just a fictional technique.
So the history of great letters is nothing but a series of one disappointment after
That's
another.
Right. If we could actually make things happen, there would be no art.
Dan Libman is the author of Married But Looking, a collection of short stories published by Livingston Press. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
You can hear Dan Libman read one of the stories in this collection, Just Like Spain, in its entirety, at our website, wnij.org. Next Friday, we delve into poetry with Amy Newman's book, Dear Editor. I'm Dan Klefstad, WNIJ News.